Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more resources and to get connected, visit freedomgatewaycenter.com.
That's all I need. You are my tribe. I am happy to be here this morning. You know, Rob was talking about a buffet last week. And haven't we had a buffet already this morning? You know, God has just threw out so many things. I hope you're like me when you go through a buffet. You don't leave anything behind. You know, God has got just, he's doing miraculous things in our body this morning. And, you know, I'm just over the top with excitement as we go in to 2022. You know, even, and I hope, are you guys enjoying seeing different people as we're going through these sermon series and seeing different reflections and different facets and seeing the gifts in the body being raised up? And this is just one way our gifts are being used. But God is unpacking the gifts this year. So you be expecting God to use you in unexpected ways, because that's what the gift is. It's a gift. I didn't expect it. You know, that's the best gifts, aren't they? When we get them and we go, you know, thank you for your love. I did not even expect that. That's the gifts that God wants to pour out in 2022. We had the joy of listening to Naomi share her gift a few weeks ago when she started out massaging our hearts to position us to receive what God wants to do, to awaken us to the experience of God's glory in our life, the hope of freedom, to just walk freely, to let go, to see his victory and his power working in our lives in 2022. She also reminded us to the old WWJD bracelet. I just challenge you. I think there's a word on that. You know, in all your life, what is not what would Jesus do? That's the only problem I have with that. We're looking back. I would say WWIJ. What is Jesus doing? What is Jesus doing in this moment? Walk with that. What is Jesus doing? Oh, and Rob followed up last week with just such a wonderful teaching on the preeminence of Christ and gave us a good teaching of the culture around us on things that were warring against us for preeminence, things that were warring against the early church, things that are warring against us today. And he told us about, you know, Colossae. And I wish my brother was here, so I hope he can hear this. I love him so, but in Texas, they say Colossae. In the Middle East, they say Colossae. But here in Michigan, it's Colossae. I love my brother. I love all that he taught us, whatever we call it. It was a great teaching, wasn't it? Paul, and in that, he had mentioned a book. Do you remember? He had mentioned a quote that says, we and the world, my children, will always be at war. Retreat is impossible. Arm yourselves. This is my prophetic word, my prophetic action for today. I've shared many times, God speaks through me, to me often through paper mentors. When Rob shared that quote, I just got this book. It's a fiction. If I read a fiction, I have to force myself at least once a year to read a fiction. But, you know, it's There's a lot in it. One, God is going to do what's unexpected. Peace like a river. You know, I want you to, we're going to hear as Jeremiah warned, people are going to say, peace, peace, where there is no peace. But we are going into a battle. And God is arming us to defeat the lies of the enemy. But we are bringing peace. It's not fiction. This book is fiction. But what he's calling us into isn't going to be fiction, but it's not going to look real to us. We're going to see with our eyes things that are going to cause us to maybe even be drawn away, as Rob was saying. But we've got to have our ear to the Spirit today to say, what is Jesus doing now? What's he doing in this moment? And how, you know, is he calling me to partner with him? Jesus is calling us to do his work. He's gifted us each to do his work. So be expecting a battle, but it's a battle that we don't need to strive through. It's a battle we just need to hitch our horse with Jesus and let him walk us through, uncovering mainly, as Deborah said, what's in us that's hindering us from him doing what he wants to do. Yeah, I'm excited because I'm seeing it with my spiritual eyes and I'm tasting it. And I know we're going to be walking into it. So I want to follow up with my brother Rob this morning. And before we get into the message, give us a little background, a little taste. Rob told us about Colossae. But I want us to take a look at Paul before we even get in the message this morning. See, I think one of the problems is when we read Paul's letters, we read them from 21st century Western eyes. We don't really come from what was Paul experiencing and what was Paul saying when he was saying that. So it's important to have a little bit of background so we can really get a grasp on what Paul was saying. You know, first of all, the world Paul lived in was completely different than the world we live in today. In the Greco-Roman world of Paul's time, first, there wasn't a separation between the gods and society. In fact, everybody believed in gods. It was just, what god do you believe in? They believed in many gods. God was involved in all their culture. Everything they did, they were looking at God, that you're either going to get blessed by a god for it or you're going to get cursed by a god for it. And honor was such a big thing because what you did for honor, honoring each other, honored God. And if you dishonored each other, you dishonored God. But God was everywhere. The spiritual was everywhere. But we live in this rationalistic, reasonable world today that makes us question everything. We don't recognize God's everywhere. And that's the first thing about Paul. He recognized God was everywhere, and there's many gods everywhere. It's the same world we're living in today. God is always with us, right? He never leaves us. But there is many false gods out there also. That's the world we live in, but it's not the culture we live in. It's not the worldview most of us have. But we have to, you know, we have to get Paul and Jesus' view of the world. And that is the view of the world. The Spirit's right here. It's always around us. It's just, you know, are we going to connect with the Lord? Or are we going to go for lesser gods that are here tapping us on the shoulder? That's the first thing, you know, really that's different that we need to understand when we're reading Paul. The other is, you know, Paul, as we know, was born in Tarsus, which is, you know, he was a Jew in the diaspora. He wasn't in Jerusalem. He was born in Tarsus, a Roman colony. That's probably how he got his Roman citizenship. But he was born in a Greek-Roman culture in Tarsus and lived in that world with the Greek-Roman, the, the philosophy of the Greeks and the laws of the Rome and the promise of peace by the Roman government. That's where Paul was born, but he was raised in Jerusalem. You know, he was raised under Gamaliel and taught as a Pharisee. And in fact, you know, Paul, he said, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I had zeal. He was the strictest of Jews. He was the strictest sect of Jews that there could be. And he had a zeal. And when we think of zeal today, we often just think, well, that's just a passion, a real strong desire. But no, this meant life or death for Paul. If you were offending his Jewish belief, he was warring against the cultures of the day from coming in and infiltrating and defiling his God. And anybody that did that, he believed deserved death. You know, probably the closest thing we have today is some of the Islamic terrorists that will go out and kill for their beliefs. But, you know, we have to get a grip of it. That's who Paul was. That's who Paul was. He was zealous for his faith. But as we know, as he was going with the letters to Damascus, as he was going to persecute these new believers that were trying to disrupt his Jewish tradition, these ones that were calling this Jesus the Messiah, he was going to persecute them when this very Messiah came and he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. We know the story, but do we really think what happened to Paul that day? You know, I think often we just think Paul was riding along on a horse and, you know, maybe, you know, he got knocked down and, well, he was a Jew and now he's a Christian. No. There was no Christian church. You know, I had a brother I was having lunch with last week. He said, I always wonder, what the early church do without Scripture? Wait a minute, they had a whole book. You know, the New Testament wasn't compiled yet, but I say that because that's what Paul's worldview was built upon. He built his life upon the old covenant. And you know, he would die for that covenant. And all of a sudden, he meets Jesus. And he recognizes he's Lord. And the transformation in Paul's life is wow. Wow, first of all, wow. I was looking for a Messiah, but this is nothing like I expected. All things became new to Paul. We've all had our Damascus Road experience. And when we do, we need to recognize, you know, we're not just coming, you know, from one step to another, but we're walking into a new way of living, into a new way, a new world, a new creation. That's what Paul was wrestling with all his life. Paul never continued. He never got the full grasp of who Jesus was. But as he walked, he just get further revelation. And as you watch Paul's life, he continues to go, less of me and more of Jesus. Less of me and more of Jesus. Until finally I consider all of this dung compared to the knowledge of Jesus. I want to know you, Jesus. He didn't want any more head knowledge. He wanted that personal experience of knowing Jesus. And that's what we should be after today. That's the Paul we're reading about today. That's who, you know, it's not so much what would Jesus do or what is Jesus doing. I got another bracelet. What would Paul say to the church today? What would Paul say to the church today? That's a good question. And I just challenge you with that today to open up to who Paul was as he's wrestling with who this Jesus is, because that's who we are. We're little Jesuses, yes, but we're a little more like little Pauls. You know, most of us, I know I can relate to Paul a little bit better. You know, I kind of go, he's human. He wrestles with the stuff I wrestle with. He tells them, whack it off. I make a mistake every now and then, and, you know, my temper flares. And, you know, I can understand what he's, I can understand, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? That's, I'm continually going, who is this? Sometimes when I think of Jesus, I just go, I want to be like you, but I got to know you more. I feel I can be like Paul. I feel like I'm trying to be like Jesus. Do you know what I mean? So allow that wrestling to go on. Allow that the mystery of who Jesus is, continue to stretch you, continue to take you farther, continue to see how that makes a difference in my life and how that makes a difference in the world that I live in. Isn't that good? That, you know, I'm ready to go to the Word now. Now we've got some background to say, you know, what is Paul saying when he's reading us? And so this morning we're going to look at the conclusion of chapter 1, picking up with verse 24. This is our text for this morning. Paul starts out by saying, "Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake." I went to sleep early last night. I didn't stay up and watch the 49ers kick a field goal against Green Bay to win the game in the last 4 seconds. I'm suffering for you, you know, because I had something to give this morning. You know what I mean? Sometimes I think, you know, we just don't get it. We kind of, you don't know how hard it is to be a Christian. Let's look at Paul. He said, "And in my flesh I do share on behalf of his body, which is the church." He's given his body for the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. "Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed upon me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations." He's called to preach the mystery of the gospel. He says, "But now this mystery which was hidden for generations has been manifested to his saints." That's what we're uncovering. That's the unveiling. "To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with wisdom, so that we may present every man and woman complete in Christ. For it's this purpose that we labor, striving according to his power, which is mightily working within us. Mightily working within us. Paul had that Damascus Road experience. He came, he encountered the mystery, and he spent his life. First, he went for 3 years to the Arabian desert in Damascus area, I'm fully convinced, just trying to figure out Jesus, I missed you, but now I'm with you. What are you doing? What are you calling me to do? What is this mystery you're calling me to preach, to live, to transform the world with? And that's what we want to look at this morning. We want to look at doing the new thing. We want to see the mystery of Christ revealed in each of us. And the first thing that Paul came to recognize that we all have to wrestle with is Jesus is the Messiah King. Jesus is the Messiah King. That to Paul, he thought he was waiting for this Redeemer, this one that would free the people of Israel from bondage and free all people. He was waiting for a king to come and establish his rule and reign in the world. And now all of a sudden, Jesus did, but he didn't come in the way that Paul expected. You know, John chapter 19 said that Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. I've mentioned it before, but this, you just got to get a hold of this. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. We know the story. Many of the Jews were saying, don't say he thinks. Pilate says, it is what I said in Greek and in Latin and in Hebrew, and probably Aramaic. Jesus is saying, I'm king. But he's crucified in what would be the worst death in the world at that time. They wouldn't even crucify a Roman citizen. But Jesus stripped and suffered and crucified before the world. Do you see how Paul was wrestling with that? I'm king. Jesus is king. He is the Messiah. He is the one that's going to set us free. He is the one that's bringing God's reign to the world. But he does it in a way that I completely didn't expect. And that's the word for us this morning. Jesus is King. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is the Redeemer. Jesus is the Healer. Jesus is all and all. But he usually comes in a way that we least expect it. So start to say, Jesus, what are you doing now? And don't look for a simple answer, because he's going to reveal the mystery to you. I'm calling you to show me this way. And we're going to be like Paul. I was expecting a king, but not the way you come. Jesus is going to be calling us, and he's going to be saying, go, show me. We're going, that's not how I expected you to work. That's the mystery. But he is revealing that mystery today. He's called us to reveal the mystery. If we don't go, the mystery's not revealed. He's done his work. He's just empowered us now to go and transform the world through that work. Jesus is the Messiah King. That's what Paul wrestled his life with. What does that look like? Secondly, if he's the king, Paul had to wrestle with God's kingdom is here and not yet come. Get a hold of that. God's kingdom is here and it's going to be fulfilled completely one day, but it's here today. And Paul is trying to figure out this kingdom isn't what I planned on either. I thought you'd raise the nation of Israel up and we would rule and reign and all people would stream to us and the world would be saved through that. And Jesus said, well, you got it right, Paul. You got it right. I am raising you up today. I am raising you up as the holy mountain. My kingdom is here. It's ruling over all. And I'm asking you to go out and establish it wherever you might go. The Lord is the King of the universe. He's establishing his reign. His reign has been established. Let me correct that. His reign, it's done. He's established king. He's seated on the throne today with all power in heaven and earth. He's saying, come hitch yourself with me. Come hitch yourself with me and let's go to whatever gift God's given you and whatever mountain he's called you to and let's go establish my reign in that area. See, he didn't come just to give revelation to the church. He came to establish and transform the world through his kingdom power. But he's waiting, as Ian said this morning, he's waiting to say, I no longer give orders, I take my orders from you. He's given us the marching orders to go, to establish his kingdom as we're wrestling it out like Paul. Whatever your area you're in, go in there and recognize Jesus is reigning. That's where we start. Jesus is reigning. His presence is in me. How are you manifesting yourself to us and through us wherever I go today? That's what we wrestle with. That's where we have to take down the filters that we put up in our misunderstanding of holding on to the Jesus we thought he was and to walking into this Jesus is bigger than anything I could even think, imagine, or dream. We wrestle like Paul. But we want to go, Lord, your kingdom is here. And I'm going to walk into it, and I'm going to establish it, and you're going to show me what that looks like. And I know it's going to be beyond whatever I believe. We were in prayer this morning, and I had a mental picture. You know, we're losing so much because of COVID. You know, everybody's looking for workers. We can't get people. We want a bellyache. The young people don't want to work today. You know what? They're giving them stuff so that they won't want to work. Well, I'm saying God's in it. I'm saying God's moving. I'm saying God's opening doors of opportunity for the church to fill all those positions and transform the world through the opportunities we have today. If we'll stop bellyaching about what's going on and get our true identity to recognize that Jesus is ruling and reigning today, and you rule and reign. We are kings and queens and priests, and wherever we go, we take him with us, and we establish that. Oh, he has made me brave. He has made me brave. I'm going out beyond the shore. I'm walking in the waves. Oh, and when we do, his love crashes over us. Let's go. Let's be brave. Let's be bold. Let's be who he's called us to be. Ooh. Thank you, Rob, for telling me not to bring a coffee. Bring a water. That's why he's my brother. The third thing Paul is wrestling with is we are the temple. We are the temple. The glory of Christ, the hope of glory dwells within us. Do you know what that meant to Paul? Paul, who built his life around a physical temple, that's where God and heaven and earth met. That was the holy place. And he committed to protecting that temple. And all of a sudden, Jesus has given him the revelation. Paul, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean to be the temple of the Holy Spirit? We are first and foremost carriers of God's presence. But we're also the place that reveals God. We're the place where heaven and earth merge together. We still live in this dualistic world that we've got our church life, our spiritual life, whatever we want to call that, but then we got the world, you know, and now I'm going to spend 6 days in the world, but oh, Sunday's coming, you know. That's just, we are that wherever we go, we are bringing heaven to earth because He has called us to be His temple. There's not going to be a physical temple. I'm sorry if I offend anybody, but He's building a spiritual house today out of each of us. We are His temple. Get a hold of that. We're the body that's coming to Christ through His Spirit that is showing Him to the world, and all the world will stream to us when we get our identity right, when we recognize this is who I am. I am the temple of God. And when we recognize that, we treat ourselves a whole lot different too. You know, we got to get our identity, you know, and we live differently from that place. Wherever I go, I'm a representative of Christ. I'm the temple. They're looking at me. They're expecting things from me. They want to come. They want to know who that is. Paul wrestled with that. Paul didn't just kind of say, okay, yeah, the temple's gone, the law's gone, Jesus fulfilled all that. That's what Paul had. You know, that's it. Paul didn't come to start a new religion. Paul came to understand Jesus fulfilled the old covenant. But what he's wrestling with is, what's that mean in the new covenant? You know, that's where we are. It's fulfilled, but what? It's fulfilled, but what now? Live with the but what now. But what now? What more? What? Not yet. There's more. There's more. There's always going to be more. There's always going to be more because His temple is going to continue to rise. His mountain is going to rise up, and He will reign over all. He will reign over all. Fifth, the new creation has begun. Not only are we new creatures, new creations, but His new creation has begun in all the world. He is in the process of restoring, renewing, establishing. He's waiting, what, for the sons and daughters of God to raise up. But the new creation has begun. So when we look at things, we can't get stuck on what it looks like or what it used to be. You know, these are the things that keep me up at night. You know, what is that mean when a problem or a trouble comes up? I got to go, what does that mean? What is that kingdom? Jesus, if You reign, if You're establishing righteousness and justice and peace, and I'm looking at a problem, no matter what it is, I can't look at the problem and look for worldly solutions. The problem is they've been working on worldly solutions, and they don't work, folks. You know, that's why we got problems, because we got free wills, because we choose to do stupid stuff. It is. It is. I don't care where you look at. You know, the problems in the world are ours. We can't say us and them. We can't say they did it. No, on my watch it happened. Take responsibility. On my watch it happened. And I'm now crying out because I see better today. I see Jesus rules and reigns. I see His kingdom. I see His new creation coming. But again, He's called us to be part of that new creation. It's only going to go as far as we will go. It's only going to go as far as we will go. Will you leave the shore? Will you leave the comfortable surroundings of laying on the shore, soaking in his beautiful sun? Oh, I worship him while I lay here in the beach because of his wonderful, wonderful creation. He made Florida better than Michigan. Get off the shore. Get off your shore. Go out and do walk beyond the shore. Get out of the boat and walk with Jesus in the storm. Don't pray for the storm to leave. You know, put your big girl pants on. Man up. Walk out into that storm. Keep your eyes on the one who's calling you. Walk where people cannot walk and let the world see you are the answer to all the problems in the world. When a problem comes up to a kingdom-minded person, it's only an opportunity for a new solution. That's all it is. If he's revealed that problem to me, I've got to seek him to say, what's the solution? What's the solution? We as a body, God is going to transform this world. 2022, the 21st century is a century of our. It's our. As Naomi would say, I'm trying to learn our. I'm holding on. Let go of me. It's not a me time anymore. We live in a society of me and mine. But he's bringing us back to his community where it's our. That was Paul's community. There was no individuals in Paul's time. They all were part of the community. And if you did something dishonoring, it was dishonoring to the community and you were shamed. So you didn't dishonor the community because you recognized what I do affects everybody. We don't have that mindset. We've got, I'll do what I please. He's saying, yeah, and you, somebody else. What we do affects everybody. It is an hour time. It's always been an hour time until me came along. There's no me an hour. Probably tell you a lot of things there is an hour, but we'll go for a tour sometime. The last. Loving people is most important. That sounds so easy, doesn't it? Yeah, I could put my theology hat on and say, ace, 4 points. Yeah, love God, love people. All the law is summed up in this. Oh, you got it, smart Barry. You've got it, you know. Give me your riches, whatever they might be. Give me your resources. Well, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to do that yet. You know, that's kind of my security. I've built these barns. You know, give it to me and go out. Love always costs. Are we willing to pay? Are we willing to ante up and say, I want to be in the game? Because see, you don't get in the game without love unless you hurt your opponents. You know, I stand here before you as a person hoping to do better. I've not always loved well. I thought I knew I had to love. I thought I did some sacrificial things. I thought I gave up some things and earn some badges and new belt buckles and, you know. But there came a point in my life, I said, am I loving? When his spirit cut me to the heart and said, when I cried out to him, why am I not experiencing you the way I experienced you when I first started to walk with you? Why am I not experiencing you the way I see you show yourself in Scripture? Why am I not experiencing you the way I see others? These are heartfelt, desperate prayers from man that wants to walk with Christ. Told me to go back and start where it first began. To put love first. To put love first. I'm trying to do better at that. Bill's easy to love. Yeah. Ian now. But we are called to love everybody. And if we get a hold of that, we're not calling on Christ's power to bring people to us. It's the power of love that draws people. Even his supernatural power, you know, there's some bells and whistles and feel good, and I realize God's real, and we hold on to those. Those are mountaintop experiences. But I'm telling you, if you look at your walk with Christ, it was the love of Christ that drew you, and it's the love of Christ that sustains you, and it's the love of Christ that draws others. We have got to get this. It doesn't matter how, you couldn't be more religious than Paul. And Paul was acquainted with the culture, Greek, Roman, Jewish. He, you know, he had all the opportunities. But it's just a clanging cymbal, Paul said. It's just a big noisemaker. Yeah. Sometimes I just feel like a big noisemaker. I don't need that many amens. You know, one from Ian would have been sufficient. He owed me that. That's what is hindering us from love? What is hindering us from loving others? That's the question. What would Paul say to the church today? Jesus is a lot bigger than I ever imagined or dreamed he could be. His kingdom is so far beyond the physical kingdom that I built. His kingdom is here. We are his temple. The new creation has begun. But most important of all, love. Father, we thank you that you put your hope of glory within us. And Lord, that you showed us love. You showed us how to love. Greater love has no one than to lay down his life for another. Lord, we lay it down this morning. We lay it down. We invite you. Come. Come. Love through us. Let your glory be manifested through the power of your love. I love you guys. And thanks for letting me be a clanging cymbal this morning. Tune me up, though. Tune me up. Love you. Let's do it.
Thanks for joining us on this podcast. For more content and to stay connected with us, be sure to visit our social media pages at Freedom Gateway Center and freedomgatewaycenter.com. Have a blessed day.